So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.
Moncrief on News Talk.
It's a question that's often sent in to Barbara and Declan on the adult slot, and it usually prompts many and various responses. If you're working with a lazy colleague, someone who is increasing the workload on other people, what do you do about it? According to a survey in the UK, colleagues who don't do their jobs properly is the top gripe among employees. Sinead Brady is a career psychologist. Afternoon, Sinead.
Good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
If someone is lazy, or is that as much to do with perception? Like, I think Tommy sitting beside me doesn't pull his weight, but it doesn't necessarily Tommy isn't pulling his weight.
Yeah, there's that element of it as well. And then there's also the part that maybe Tommy is actually lazy, but possibly strategically lazy. So he has an idea that he will do things that gain visibility, that are very much about playing to his strengths. So he says only yes to what suits him, and then is strategically lazy about the other things that need to happen in order for a workplace to function and to be, you know, just to be a general workplace.
Yeah. So what's wrong with that? As far as he's concerned, he's selling his labour to these people. He's trying to get on. Why should he give his heart and soul to it rather than just doing what he needs to do to get on in the job?
Yeah, there's that element, but it's when there. So what we're talking about is the difference between culture and then visibility. Mm. So culture is where we all need to kind of, there's certain things that we need to do in order for the workplace to function. And that's called work glue. And that's the thing that holds teams together. So it's things that are kind of invisible and on track often, but really essential. So, for example, maybe that particular person is going in to pitch an idea and the presentation needs to be done, but he will be very quick to present, but not necessarily very quick to do the work that needs to be done in order to present. Equally, might always be kind of, you know, so it's taking away some of those things that are really difficult actually to explain. They're outside performance reviews, but they're actually really, really, really important in order for a workplace to actually function.
Yeah. Hard, difficult for a manager to spot then.
Yeah, 100%, because these are the things that people are doing all of the time, like booking the meeting room, making sure that there are things that the leadership team need, all of those different things. And people just take them for granted because they're that emotional labour that happens in the work, in the workplace. And then when other people don't do them or decide not to do them, as the article says, like, it causes resentment. People become really frustrated because they're really, really important things to do. You know, we need note takers. We need people who are doing the things that are important for the functioning of the organisation.
Yeah. At the same time, though, the people who might feel hard done by this, maybe they're not being as cute as we're putting a lot of responsibility on poor Tommy here. But Tommy's playing the game and maybe they're not playing it as well.
Well, maybe Tommy is playing the game very well. Let's just take hypothetically Tommy and have a little bit of fun around this. But the reality is that Tommy, and we've named, and there's a gender attached to that, very often some of the politeness that goes with doing these tasks are attached to gendered expectations around who does what and when and how. And Tommy might get away with saying no a lot more quickly and being that little bit more hesitant to come back and do these things than perhaps Mary, let's say, who might be considered to be difficult or not a team player if she politely said no. So there is kind of all, this is a really nuanced conversation that's actually on the outside of it. It looks like it's a fun conversation. But if you're kind of that person who is sitting in this space, it's really difficult. It's really hard. It builds resentment and it absolutely results in people leaving workplaces because it is these small tasks that happen that people, everybody needs to share and do in order for a place, a bit like the home, Sean, you know?
Yeah. So, but the Marys of this world are probably far more likely to do the emotional labour that you referred to because they're kind of conditioned to do that stuff.
Absolutely. And we even have a name for it. It's called non-promotable tasks. So it is, these are all of the things that must happen within a workplace in order for the workplace to function. And it's not just kind of the office housework. It's things like preparing the deck. It is preparing notes. It is mentoring new colleagues. It is making sure that everything is up to date with different systems and services. So there's some very, very important things that actually need to happen, but they're just not recognised. And we've got this notion that in order for something to be of value, it must be measured. But it's very difficult to measure some of these things that are maintaining the culture of an organisation, whereas some of the more visible things actually build and are built into our KPI systems.
Yes. So there's a set of things. Tommy knows what they are to be seen to be doing X, Y and Z. Yeah. Mary's doing all this other stuff that keeps the show on the road, but that's not recognised as real work or important work even. Then isn't that the fault of the workplace rather than Tommy's just playing by the rules that he's been given?
Yeah, we could look at it that way. Absolutely. But it is up to the workplace to begin to break down these gender dynamics within the workplace and to begin to talk. And, you know, we can list these things and we can have a rota of people doing them and so on. So, but the issue, I suppose, as well, is that at the point that somebody has said no a couple of times, they're considered maybe bossy or cold or not helpful for saying no. So it's really hard to break down these gender dynamics, but you're absolutely dead right. By naming them and giving everybody within the team or the function or the organisation or the industry even a right and a responsibility to do them, it's really, really important because there are long-term effects to, we'll say, Tommy building his visibility, which we know are measured. There's a gender pay gap. There's all of these different things. And then there is the impact of rewarding that visibility while not rewarding the thing that maintains the culture. That doesn't mean that it's only, you know, gender based, but it's absolutely a massive, massive contributing factor to it.
Yeah, because I imagine a certain percentage of some people's working day is performative. I want to be seen to be doing this thing, so I look really busy and important.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some people have made a really good living out of that. And you may actually be working for one of them, not you specifically, but people listening, whereby they have got to the point where they are in very strategic leadership positions and they have managed to avoid all of that other work that needs to actually be done for a workplace to function.
Yeah. No, it just, but even within, I even noticed in here, we work in a big open plan office. People walk really quickly. And there's almost a culture, I need to be seen to be walking really quickly from here to the coffee machine just to make both things. There's something really important I have to get to over there. And there isn't really.
Absolutely. It's like I'm on a deadline.
Yeah.
Or whatever that might look like. And it's just that you don't want to get caught up in the noise of different things and you actually have stuff to do. So, yeah, walk really quickly. Or, you know, one of the classic ones is being on your phone. Make sure that if you're on your phone and pretending you're on a call, that you have it on flight mode so that it doesn't actually ring while in your hand as you're pretending to be busy. So, you know, there's definitely there's some lightness to this as well. But it does, as you say, and as you've kind of shone a light on, actually highlight that there is structural inequalities hiding behind workplace politeness. Mm. And we have to think and talk about this, I think, as we set into and look into a changing world of work where we have to make the world of work a better, more equitable, enjoyable place for everybody in the world of work. And by doing that, then the workplace actually becomes a better place for all of us, not just some of us.
Is that made more difficult or at least more complicated by people who work from home? Because the person who works from home isn't seen one, you know, running around the office with a phone glued to their ear.
So I suppose there's the you could look at it that way, but you could also look at it and say, well, the performative visibility is not actually there. So it is actually the people who are working and producing and putting across and out work that is KPI'd that actually are producing the value. So the performative presence of people who are peacocking, for want of a better word, actually is it's taking the power away from that.
Yeah. Like, for instance, someone's texting in to say, no, you want me to do extra jobs or behind the scenes work. Pay me. I'll do what I'm hired to do. At the end of the day, you're just a number to a company and can be discarded so easily.
Yeah, there is that element. I get that. I'm not suggesting that people take on extra work, but I am saying where this work happens, and it does happen in all organisations, it holds the organisation together, and it should be shared more equitably amongst people. And that some people, not all people, but some people are strategically lazy, and they are lazy, you know, in terms of they are happy to push that work off on somebody else, whether it is unintended or intended. They're happy enough not to do that. But in fact, actually, if you are going to present in a workplace and you are going to present the work of the team, you should absolutely be part of preparing the deck, unless there is somebody that is specifically assigned and paid to do that task.
Yeah. But if you're in a situation right now, Sinead, if people are listening, if it's going, you know, I'm the Mary in this situation. I do all this. I book the room for the meeting. But Tommy beside me, like, is in like a shot when we go into the room and gets all the glory.
Yeah.
And me booking the room won't be recognised as important work. So, and I know my manager will go, but Tommy's great. So in that kind of instance, is there a limited amount that perhaps one could do? Maybe it's just time to move on to another employer.
Yeah, there is an element of that. It's very hard to break away from doing some of these things, particularly where Tommy, for example, is strategically lazy and isn't going to do anything that plays to the team. And we need an element of that in every workplace, in every home, in everything that we do. So sometimes it is about looking up and looking around and saying, you know, I'm not going to change the environment that I'm currently in. This is actually rewarded behaviour in here. There isn't a policy on how we manage these. And some of the organisations that I work with do actually, you know, look at this and go, this isn't a manageable amount of work for any team to do. We need an extra admin person in here where that's possible. So yes, absolutely. It is about looking up and looking around and saying, okay, does this look like something that if I bring it up and if I broach it, it's going to be addressed? Or if I actually address it and bring up something small around this, is it acknowledged? Is it understood? And is it addressed? And if that isn't happening, and you can see that quite clearly isn't going to change, it is very challenging to change the culture of an organisation or a team. Perhaps it is about looking up and looking around and saying, what's my exit strategy and what next?
Sinead, thanks so much for speaking with us today. That was the career psychologist, Sinead Brady there. One texter says, by the same token, there are people in the office or workplace who over-engineer or drag things out or spend way too much time on things that should take less time and therefore make others look lazy. Yep. That can often be recognised when people do that kind of stuff. How many people realistically take a... Now, this is interesting. How many people realistically take a vocational approach to their job? Most people are going through the motions. We don't live in a utopia. Another texter says, Stephen says, in fairness, I'm with you. Culture me arse. Most people don't like their jobs and most companies don't give a damn about you. So why should we do anything beyond the bare minimum? They're gaming you so you can game them. I suppose people might kind of game it a bit more with a bit more inventiveness just so they can get, you know, and promotions and that kind of stuff and more money. Yeah, that's it. It's not a case of laziness with these people. It's cynicism. These people are resourceful enough when they need to be seen to be doing something. Well, yeah, that is true. Some people really know how to play that game. I really just want a coffee. Says another texter. I assume that's because you're one of those people who like to walk really fast in the office. And finally, another texter says, there is a guy in my job who spends his day texting radio stations when he really should be working. Disgraceful behaviour.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.